I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 465. We discuss the fine art of regifting.
All right, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. Panda!
Hi!
How you doing?
I couldn't be better.
You could, but it would really be a stretch.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Right now, you are kind of having the bestest week ever.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which doesn't happen often,
No, it doesn't. Yeah. So revel in it. Enjoy it, because,
I'm rolling it like a pig rolls in shit.
Okay. That was not the visual that I wanted in my head. But
pigs really like it.
They do. They like cold places, so if it's cold shit, cold mud, they don't care, they'll roll around in it. Hey, we are not pigs.
No.
We are podcast hosts, and we have a bunch of stuff to talk about on the podcast today. Primarily what we're going to talk about, since Christmas is nearly upon us.
Nearly upon us!
We thought that it would be a good idea to talk about and recap for those of you who maybe haven't been to our website to check out our holiday gift guide, to run through some of the things that are on the holiday gift guide that we really, really think are awesome gifts for the gamers, geeks, nerds, music aficionados in your life, just as a reminder, and also to share some of our recommendations for those last minute gifts for you protagonists, procrastinators, I should say, who haven't yet purchased anything for anybody.
Yeah, like me.
Because you like to live your holiday shopping like finals.
Or because shifts in your personal life that really make buying things.
Like you've had no money until right now. Like right now. Which happens. So we've got your back. That's what this podcast is about. We will not be talking about Star Wars on this podcast.
So if you haven't seen it,
guess what? We're not going to spoil it for you on
right yet
this podcast.
So if you have the means to find the place to go and see it,
do that.
And then listen to next week's show.
Because next week's show is going to be nothing but Force Awakens. Okay?
Yeah, all right. And I already have...
No.
It's not a spoiler.
The only thing you better say is that you have notes. That's it.
All I'm going to say is...
No.
In my personal life, I've already blundered once, so I have to be very careful.
All right. So, not this podcast, next podcast. This podcast is nothing but gifts, okay? So, you've got time. Okay. But this is the only grace period that we're giving you.
You get a week, y'all. So if you haven't seen it by then, you might want to wait.
Okay? 1 week.
Because we're going to spoil the fuck out of it.
1 week. The only thing that might be Star Wars-y is one of my gift guide recommendations, which this article hasn't hit the website yet, but it's nothing about spoiling the movie. It's just Star Wars related.
It's related.
So let's jump right into it. If you've been to the website and you've checked out our holiday gift guide, you can find it really easily. We link to it from the main navigation. Can't miss it. There's a bunch of things from a bunch of people on the team for recommendations for everything from the Wii to music to DVDs for anime, all kinds of stuff. We're going to cover all of that stuff today with our recommendations. I'm going to kick it off with my recommendations just because, one, they're mine. Two, I really stand behind every single one of them. They're all products that I've tried, that I own myself, that I have gifted to people in the past or similar things from the companies to other people. So, you know us. If we recommend it, it's because we've been hands-on with it and we really like it. So first and foremost, I will say top of my list, you know, for those people who have some cash in their pocket and they really want to get the console gamer that they adore for whatever reason, significant other, best friend, relative, somebody that you work with who's dope as hell. If they're on console gaming and they do multiplayer at all, you know, they're going to talk about needing a really good headset. And a lot of people, when they get a console, they use the freebie earbud headset that comes with their system for as long as they can because they're not sure what kind of headset they should look for. I'm of the mind, if you've got a next-gen console, which I guess at this point is now current-gen consoles, then you should have a really good headset. And by really good headset, I mean a headset that you put some money into because it's going to last you a while. It's going to give you great sound. It's going to give you great control over when you're sending audio, when you're not, all that kind of stuff. And it should be a headset that you can use with either console without having to get any accessories to make it work. So I'm a big fan of Astro Gaming. We've made no bones about it that we are unofficially the official, they're unofficially the official headset of the Electric Sisterhood. Pretty much everybody on the core editorial team has a set of
if not multiple sets
of Astros for a couple of reasons. One, they're really great headsets and they don't die. Okay, every Astro headset that we have ever had has ultimately been a hand-me-down to somebody else on the team when we got new ones because they were still working. I believe the original A30s that I got almost 6 years ago are still in use by a team member.
Yep.
That says a lot about the quality of the headset. So for those who don't know, astrogaming.com, they make a great, great line of headsets. Everything from lifestyle headsets with the A38, which I did a review on and also put it as one of my recommendations in the gift guide for the non-gamers because it is a non-gaming headset, the A38. But they do everything from A30s all the way up to A50s, and they're is a combination of wired and wireless headsets in there. Everything is a cup. Some fit directly on ear, some are over ear, which is great depending upon the type of seal that you want. All of the headsets are noise canceling, so they create a great sound experience whether you're listening to music or you're gaming, especially if you're doing chat with the A30s, A40s, and A50s, the A50s being a wireless headset. They all provide really fantastic surround sound. Like, I am floored when I am playing using my A50s on my PlayStation because the surround, like, I can't really hear the world that is going on around me when I have that headset in. And I live in a town where, and on a street where I should say that probably, and you've more than likely heard it in some of our podcasts, there are a lot of sirens that go on and off throughout the day. And when I wear the A50s gaming, I don't hear those things when they go off up and down the street. I don't hear my dog barking. I don't hear my phone ringing. I am completely immersed in what is playing on my PlayStation. So because they're such a great sound system, when I am shooting and when I am conversing, I can control in the A50s and the A40s and the A30s the mix of audio. So this is really important when you are playing a game where you're collaborating with teammates, so multiplayer. You can control the mix of game chat volume to in-game volume. So it's more important when I'm playing games like Destiny or I'm playing Call of Duty to be able to hear my teammates tell me what they need me to do or where they need me to be, versus the sound of the bullets and everything else going off in the game. So I can actually control that in my headset to make that mix more 60-40 or 70-30, prioritizing the team chat, but still hear the in-game audio, which is great. And because I have the system directly wired into the console, I don't have to have my surround sound in my living room on. So that allows me to play later at night. And if my husband's sleeping, I know I'm not going to worry about waking him up because the only game audio is are wrapped around my ears. So I highly recommend, if you're a gamer, that you have a really good headset. And there are a lot of great, great companies out there that make headsets. I love PDP. I think that they're a great group. You know, we've had some experiences with Turtle Beach and with Triton, but time and time again, we end up coming back to Astro because the quality is just so great. They last forever. They're a very, very comfortable headset, the entire line. So if you're gaming, it really just depends on what your budget is, because they are a premium brand. They are a premium price on the Astro side of the line. You're looking at anywhere between $150 to $300 on the headsets, depending upon whether you start with the A30s, which are a wired headset, which are a little bit smaller, but still offer the same noise canceling and also customization. And then as you start running into the wireless and the A50 range, you're looking at $200 to $250 range. And then when you hit the A50s, which are the top of the line, they are, you know, a $300 set. They're not a cheap headset, but they are a phenomenal headset. I cannot see me getting any other game headset until these things break, which their quality is so great, they're not breaking anytime too soon. Like, I keep eyeing the new A50s because they've got some different colors. I have the first set that came out a couple of years ago that are black, and they've got some really good-looking A50s out now. They've got a Halo Special Edition that's out, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous A50 headset, but I can't justify buying it because there's absolutely nothing wrong with my existing A50s. So that. In the gift guide, however, I was focused on the A38s because it's Astro's line into lifestyle headsets, and I really like the idea of taking the same size headset of the A30, but making a headset that is specifically for everything other than gaming. So this is the headset to use to listen to music when you're traveling, you know, to sync to your tablet or to your laptop, to watch movies with. I'm looking forward, because I have a bunch of trips planned this year, traveling with my A38s, because they do offer noise canceling. They are a Bluetooth headset. They're super light. I can wear them for hours. I think the longest that I've had them on my head now has been about a 5.5 hour day with them physically on my ears. They don't pinch my head. They're very, very comfortable. And even though they are Bluetooth and they're wireless, they are not very heavy. So they're extremely comfortable. And I have had them paired with my laptop, my iPad, and my phone. And the quality of audio streaming, I haven't experienced any lag. The audio sound is phenomenal. I'm a bass head, so they're a little bit light for my personal taste on bass, but it's still a rich experience. So if you're a bass head and you're expecting like the thumpity thump thump in your head, you're not going to get that, but you're going to get a nice sound out of it. Definitely, definitely great for watching movies on a plane or on a train while you're traveling. Fantastic for listening to music on the go, especially because they're wireless, so you can get up and walk away from your computer to go grab something to drink or, you know, to, again, as long as you're within the Bluetooth range of your computer, do whatever you need to do without having to take the headset off or just stop your music. You can keep going. They have a built-in mic, so I have used them now for video conferencing. And that worked without a problem. They don't have a boom mic. It's a mic that's located at the bottom of the cup that's on your ear. So obviously the tighter that you wear it on your head, the easier it is for it to pick up audio because it's closer to your mouth. But it's a really, really solid headset. And I've been extremely appreciative of the review units that Astro has sent us over the years. The A38s that I put in the gift guide, as I noted, our review units that we received, but I'll tell you what, in all honesty, I would have bought a pair of these guys anyway if they hadn't sent us one to review, because it is really a solid, solid headset. So if you're in the market for a Bluetooth headset and you want something that has great sound that you can use with multiple devices very easily, that you can also customize, because you can do customized tags with the A38s, very similar to the tags that you can do with the A30s. So you can pick designs that are up there to really find something that fits your kind of mood, or you can upload your own custom artwork. So if, you know, you want to create a tag with your initials or whatever, as long as you own the rights to the artwork, you can put it up there. I'm getting ready to make a set of tags for the A38s with the Esh emblem on them that I'll be using when I go to PAX East. And fingers crossed, go to E3. We'll see how that works out. But these will be the headsets that you see me wearing all the time at shows. Because I love the sound. I love the quality. You can pick up Astros in a bunch of places now, which is really great. You can get them directly from Astro Gaming. But if you're trying to get this for a Christmas gift, the website's out for you now because there's no way that you're going to get them shipped before Christmas. However, you can also find Astro headsets at your local Best Buy as well as your local GameStop. And if you're looking for a little bit of a bargain hunt, the GameStop might be a little bit better because a lot of times you can find at GameStop used headsets, which are slightly discounted from the list price. So as an example, I was in a GameStop the other day and they had a set of the new Astro A40s in box, and I should say the new model, this year's model, that were used, and you would pay normally for that just around $270 with tax, and they had them for $225. So if you're looking for the headset, you want to pick it up brand new, and you're not too awful worried about budget because you know that these are a headset that are going to last, that are going to be an awesome gift. Again, your first best bet to go is going to be to Best Buy. They are multiple colors and looks that happen in the entirety of the line. There's at least two looks for each of the headsets, the A30s, A38s, A40s, and A50s. I can't recommend them any higher than that. I love the case that they travel in. They're just a nice, high-quality headset. So if you've got a gamer or someone who you know is about to get a console for Christmas, then your accessory gift to them should be a great headset, and I highly recommend Astro Gaming.
I don't think I could have made that any better.
Aw, shucka doodles.
I mean, as you said, like, we obviously do not shy away the fact that we love Astro.
Nope.
Pretty much to the point where they should just hire us to.
If I was allowed to have tattoos, because I'm not, I would probably have
their logo somewhere.
I would probably have the A logo somewhere on my sleeve of tattoos, but I'm not allowed to have them, so I don't. But so, if I did, which is partly the reason that I'm not allowed to have them, because I would have a sleeve, I would Astro would be on my sleeve.
No doubt.
No doubt. The A star would be someplace in the sleeve.
Okay, so I'll go next.
Yes. What would you have?
So even though this isn't one of the pieces that I wrote for this gift guide,
right?
Let's be honest here. Mine are not available yet.
Correct.
Because
you have super secret holiday recommendations,
right.
But they're known only unto you.
Only. Well, I'm going to share some of them in today's episode.
So now they're about to be a secret to everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Everyone will be in who listens to our show. But one of our esteemed writers, Hamster Man, brought up one that I was thinking about writing about, so I'm kind of glad that he did, and that is the Super Mario Maker for the Wii U.
Oh, yeah, and Super Mario Maker is bomb.
And the reason why this is one of my picks is currently, as I said, right now, I don't have it. But the minute I've seen so many people playing it and so many people talking about it and so many, like, friendships being tested and, like, The level of people's rage to a level is, like, directly proportionate to, like, the nostalgia for whatever the level is. And, I mean, I feel like if any game really defines its console and its genre and even a generation of gamers in one finite, tangible place, it deserves some recognition, and this game does exactly that.
So what is Mario Maker for those people who may not have read Ham's piece or, like, you know, own it already?
All right, so Super Mario Maker sounds pretty simple. Super Mario, or anything relating to Mario, really. And the game gives you, the player, the ability to make your own levels. From start to finish, like, you map out everything. You map out the grounds. You map out the sky. You map out the baddies in what order they show up. And then when you have it to your liking, to even a degree, because I think you can play halfway, like, you can stop and jump in and play it as far as you've created it to kind of gauge how douchey you're being, for lack of a better word.
Or not.
But it kind of reminds me of the level creation that you could do in Little Big Planet somewhat. Mm-hmm. But this is all Nintendo, and even a step down, all Mario related. But like every element of Mario can be utilized and manipulated in this game, and people were so excited for this. They were a little worried at first, I think, initially, but then when they got their hands on it and saw exactly what they were capable of doing, then the people's imaginations just like creamed all over everything. Like no one could stop people from, you know, putting bad guys upside down and like giving baddies that don't necessarily have like projectile powers to make the level pretty much damn near impossible.
So here's the thing about Mario Maker. Mario Maker is a great game for, I think,
a very strong creative visually. A visual creative person, I think.
Well, I think that it's a super game for somebody who's visually creative, but I think that Super Mario Maker is the kind of game that is great for anyone who has nostalgia about Mario games. Yep. And I'm talking about everything from Super Mario Brothers that came to the U.S. On the original Nintendo through Galaxies and every game in between, because any element that has existed in a Mario game that was published is available in Mario Maker to create your level. And I think what's really interesting about the game is that you can create a level, and then as long as you can play through the level and prove that it can be completed, you can then put that level out for anybody in the world to play or just your friends to play. So you can invite your friends to your level to play it, and people can play levels that are put out there publicly, and they can leave comments. And as you progress through the levels, you can see if you die, how many other people died in that same area. And you can see when people have left comments, what those comments are. And so some of those are, you know, recommendations of, hey, make sure that you have a fire flower power before you go into this next section, or it's going to be really difficult. Or, okay, this next part is like really simple, just slow down. Like, people will leave guiding hints, or just, depending upon whether this is a level that's just shared with friends, a whole lot of copy about why whatever's being done next is really douchey in that section. And so it becomes this really interesting collaborative space. But it's also a great way, and I think a wonderful game to have the younger generation get exposed to, because it lets them create platformers and it lets them figure out, you know, traps and successes with a very fun and safe environment. So
I agree.
It's both, can be very simplistic and very complicated. And I think that that's one thing that was always missing for me from Little Big Planet was, as far as creating your level, it wasn't simplistic enough.
No.
To complete.
No. That was geared towards people who had an eye for design, or just even just had a desire to manipulate.
Right, but it was still billed as, you know, you can quickly and easily create like a level. And
I would not call their creation quick by any stretch of the imagination.
But they did. And, you know, because I tried to get hooked with the first one, and I really was not very good
at the level creation. I made maybe 2 levels in Little Big Planet.
I didn't complete my first level, so I ended up just playing other levels and playing in the game, and I didn't pick up 2 for that same reason, because I really wanted to get into the level creation stuff, and it was just a little bit more work than what I had time to dedicate to it. So I think that that's what's different for Super Mario Maker, for me at least, is that it's not that difficult. Like, you can spend a ridiculous amount of time in creating a level, or you can just create a really long level that's really easy to traverse. Like, I think that there's one level that somebody created that's literally, you just have to go forward. There's like no traps. You just have to run forward. It's just a super, super long level until you actually get to the end. So there are people that are like running for like 5 minutes, like, did I break it? Do I keep going? Like, what? And then they finally complete it after running straight, and they're like, wow, okay. And so it's more of an endurance test than anything else. So there's like that extra level of psychology going on there, but not, you know, difficulty in creating the level itself. So
I think it also just, it shows us, or makes us as players, put on these glasses to kind of prove to us that, you know, a game doesn't have to look a certain way to be like deemed easy, simple, or difficult. Because I mean, like Bloodborne, or, you know, Demon Souls. Lord. Like, you look at that game and you're like, shit, that's hard. Like, just looking at it. And then someone might get Super Mario Maker and find a level that is easily just as difficult
as a Bloodborne level.
As a Bloodborne level.
Very true. Very true.
And I like that they're willing to test, you know, put that in front of us and dare us to think that far in. Because, I mean, at face value, very fun, very entertaining, very bright, very approachable, as opposed to, you know, juxtaposed to Bloodborne, which is, you know, definitely hardcore gamer-centric, really about you knowing the world and knowing how to operate in it, and seeing that there could be parallels with two very distinctive things. And I thought that was very interesting. So if you're wanting to buy it, if you're planning to buy it new, that's going to run you about $60. So me, living on the side of less money, I have seen it as low as $42 used at like a GameStop or any other mom and pop store that does resells and stuff like that. So you could always look to those. But I think where I saw the one for 42 something, it was the only one. So a lot of people are holding on to their copies.
Yeah, because a lot of people are enjoying the game. And also, don't forget that as far as Mario Maker goes, you can also get it as a digital download. If you have space on your Wii U, that is, you can also get it through the eStore.
So I think that was a great choice that Hamster Man put forth out there. Because, I mean, so many of us remember our first experience with Mario. Whereas for me, it was definitely on, I mean, my most memorable is from the Nintendo 64, but I had played the earlier versions, like Super Mario.
You played 3.
I did. Yes, I did.
Yep.
But I just remember owning my love of Mario when 64 came out, and I just pwned it like a boss. Like, it was
If I remember correctly, you beat 3 before I did.
Probably. But I remember 64, I'm like, oh, new graphics, oh, new this, like, all these new sets of mechanics that I then had to learn and like develop, and like I know I felt far more.
Yeah, you went. I remember Sunshine.
Oh God, don't remind.
You did though.
I know. But that was a great choice from Hamster Man. So like I backed that 110%, and play it, give it a shot. If you don't agree with me and Hamster Man, like one, you're allowed to. You're a human. You can have whatever opinions you want. But don't say, I can't imagine someone not having fun with this game, even if they don't get into it the way other people do.
True, because you don't have to you don't have to create a level. If you don't
you can just play other levels. That's right. And you never have to worry about a new Mario game, because there will always be a new Mario level through Mario Maker.
Yep.
There's so much replayability in this game, it's ridiculous.
That's
one of my picks.
All right, so continuing on, another thing that I recommended, and it's going to be very difficult for me to talk about this one without accidentally turning on my console.
Yep. Go ahead. Give this one a shot.
The Elite controller for the current gen Microsoft system, known as Panda.
Xbox One.
Thank you. I love this controller. See, you are of use to me sometimes. I absolutely love this controller. It is a steep investment. You know, here's the thing. I don't really have cheap recommendations, as I'm thinking through all of my recommendations. But here's the deal with that. It's because I like quality stuff. I don't mind paying for things if I know they're going to last and they're really going to be good. And so the Elite controller is definitely one of those for me. I was a little skeptical when it was first announced because I have not had the best of luck with controllers for that console. I've had two that have not been responding the way that they should.
Oh.
One that was not keeping a charge the way that it should. So I currently have for that system 1, 2, 3, 4, I have 5 controllers for that console, 2 of which are retired. And 1 is just for show because it's my beautiful MVP controller that was sent to me by the Microsoft team. Thank you very much. Shout out to the Microsoft team and everything that they do for the brand ambassador program. But once I went hands-on with the controller at E3, which didn't suck to have Major Nelson be like, you want to touch it? And be like, yeah, I want to touch it.
I'll touch it.
I'll touch it twice. But being able to go hands-on with the controller, it felt really balanced and perfect in my hand. It was the first time, really in a long time, that a controller for that console has felt comfortable in my hand. You know, because I have small hands and I had surgery on my wrist, so I can't game for long periods of time a lot of times.
Because you have widow hands and your wrists hurt.
Yes, because of the surgery. So finding a controller that can be in my hands comfortably for a couple of hours or more at a time is really a big thing for me. And I have only had issue with a couple of PlayStation controllers that were aftermarket controllers doing that. But I've, since the original console on the Microsoft side, where they had controllers that they built for kids, so they were smaller, and I used those. Since they went to the one-size-fits-all controller, I've had difficulty finding something that works. But the Elite controller is fantastic. And it's Elite for a couple of reasons. The main reason is it's programmable. So this is the first time on a first-party side of the world that Microsoft has come out with a programmable controller for their system. For a long time, they fought programmable controllers, especially because it's a thing that is quite taboo in the esport realm and competitive leagues, because it's an unfair advantage if you can program macros to a button push as opposed to the original layout commands, especially for fighting games. But this is a controller that is designed for the hardcore player at home. So I think Microsoft finally accepted that, you know, it's okay to build this for that segment. Like, they're not going to try and take this into esports. They know it's not for esport. This is for you at home doing your thing. Do your thing. And we're going to give you a great tool to do that. So the Elite controller is a $150 controller. And that price tag hurts a lot of people right off the bat. Because your typical controllers for the system can range anywhere between $40. I've seen them as low as $40 in some places brand new. Up to $60 for a controller. So a controller that is more than twice that, you know, can make a lot of people have some sticker shock. But like I said, it is programmable, and it comes with additional thumbstick buttons, so you can have a rest and a movement that is comfortable for you, as well as two options for the D-pad. One that makes it much like an analog pad and has 16 points of interaction versus the traditional D-pad, which is just simple compass, north, south, east, west. So you can swap those out interchangeably very easily. So you can go from needing a traditional north, south, east, west for, let's say, your FPS versus a similar to an analog stick, almost 16-point attenuation that you would probably want to use for a fighting game. So it's actually a gamepad that you can successfully use with a fighter. I've done it with Mortal Kombat. It's actually much more comfortable with that D-pad than with the analog stick, at least for me. And that's a big, big thing to say. So if you have somebody that goes back and forth between those types of games a lot on their Microsoft console, probably looking at the Elite controller for that XB1. For the XB1, I'll say it that way, for the XB1, is the best way to go if you want to make a single investment. I'm not saying go out and buy them four, because that's like balling on a level that even I don't understand.
You know, now that I think about it, and I totally hate to cut you off, but like it just, the thought just bubbled. Why name it the Xbox One, knowing it has the capability to turn on when you say it plus the preposition?
Like,
did someone not think that through a little bit?
Yeah.
Because if you say it fast enough, it's going to be like, huh, what? You said my name, and then boop.
Pretty much. And that's what happens with mine.
Like, I just thought about, I'm like, wow, they really kind of fucked you guys over a bit.
Just a little
bit. That's if you even have the feature on.
Right, though. Which I do.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. So. It's one of the main things that I love about that console is the accuracy of its voice control. So if you have somebody that is serious about their console gaming, I'm talking somebody that's putting in 15, 20 or above hours a week into their systems, then the and they're living the XB1 life, then they really need to have this controller in their life. I was so glad that I pre-ordered mine. They're hard to come by. There was another Flux that appeared online at the Microsoft store, as well as some more that showed up on Amazon, but they're a little bit difficult to come by because they're really sought after. Because once you get your hands on one, especially after you've made some adjustments and you've set some of the toggles on the other underside to program to be things that you want them to be to easily navigate trees, set off combos and things like that. The Elite controller is bomb for fighting games. I will tell you, especially as a person that has struggled with trying to manage sets of shoulder buttons and triggers plus D-pad and normal gel buttons, to be able to set up grabs and throws to a toggle that's on the underside so that I can use my pinky and my ring finger to trigger those off, as opposed to trying to bend fingers up to hit the shoulder buttons to do that, reduces the amount of gamer claw that I've had. I have not had a single issue of gamer claw since I've had this controller, and I exclusively use it when I am playing platformers. So when I went through Tomb Raider and when I went through Assassin's Syndicate, it was the controller that I went to. I started both of those off with my Titanfall controller, and within like 15 minutes, I was like, well, let me try it with the other one. And once I've tried it with the Elite controller, I did not go back. So my Elite is now my main controller for my XB1 system. So I highly recommend getting one. So if you have like a single gift that you want to be like mic drop to the XB1 person.
Hey, girl, I know you like XB1. Here.
If you can get your hands on an Elite controller, it is the mic drop gift for an XB1 fan. More so than Halo, more so than a lot of other games that are really hot right now for the system, Elite controller.
Okay. All right, so this one is one that is mine that, like I said, I have not released the piece on our website for.
And
so
you're running out of time.
Exclusive, I know, because...
Oh, do I have to do the world star with a spinning Doritos logo in the corner?
No.
Okay.
No. But
good, so Doritos didn't sponsor this podcast.
In the short of it, I'm gonna say one name, and then I'm gonna go into a particular that's under this umbrella. So first off, Etsy. Anything nerdy that you have ever been like, oh man, I wish they had this as a sock or like a backpack or like a poster.
Or like a lightsaber that I really, really, really want to buy, but I can't justify the $234.
Right.
But I really want to.
And you go to Etsy. So I love Etsy for a lot of things. I get a lot of my really cute little knick-knack jewelry things. Mm-hmm. I've gotten a couple of shirts from them. I got a really cute owl mug from this one girl. Like, you can find just about anything you're looking for.
I've gotten a lot of my vinyls for my various devices.
From Etsy.
Yeah.
So, but this is, you know, this is my go-to generally for, like, my nerdy pieces. Like, I got this really cute 8-bit bow from this particular shop on Etsy.
Yeah.
And so... you would want to look at Critical Hit Shop, and they do a lot of pins. They do a lot of necklaces that could be pins, so like it could be unisex, which I really appreciate, because most of the time they'll, you know, the dude gamer in your life would probably love a mana bar or a stamina bar, but he doesn't want to wear it as a necklace, maybe.
Right.
You know, and the versatility of the ability to wear it either way I thought was really appealing.
Or, you know, maybe some cufflinks.
Right, exactly. Like, and there's so many ways to...
Do dudes wear cufflinks anymore?
Some do.
Okay.
And some of those guys also wear fedoras, so you need to be careful about that.
Oh, yeah, you gotta be careful.
So my particular pick in terms of the stuff that you can find at Critical Hit Shop, which, sadly, when I went to go get it, was not available. But I wanted the Life Bar necklace. And it glows in the dark, too. So, like, you could be at PAX East or E3 at a party. And, like, if you've been out in the sun all day, like, out in E3 LA, you wear it. And then you go to your party. And your party that you go with to this party can see your life bar in the dark. Or your mana bar if you're a caster or whatever. But,
right.
You know,
because we're not trying to tell you what you need to be.
Exactly. You could either or both. Like, no one's telling you couldn't be both.
Yeah, yep.
But I had loved it, and I like the mono one, too. But I think I'd prefer to wear them as pins. And I mean, like, you could put them on your backpack or on your purse or on your, you know, or, like, on your jeans, like, near your crotch if you want to be that, if you want to be that guy. Like, no one's telling you.
You could
be that guy.
Or girl.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
That furry.
We're not going to judge. Well.
I'm not judging.
Some thoughts, but I'm not judging.
They're not harsh or judgmental.
And I'm not going to say them out loud because that would be rude.
It would be.
I do know how to keep my thoughts to myself, but I might have thoughts. I'm not going to lie. But I respect you enough to not lie to you.
But I really like this shop. They do a whole lot of different things. It ships worldwide, though it's out of Michigan. So, like, props to you for, like, doing it on your grind. I mean, I've liked the other things that I've purchased from them before. So this would be more of, like, a stocking stuffer. Not necessarily. I mean, you could do this as a gift. But, like, I'd want to do this, like, as a set, like, a gift. Because the Life Bar only goes for, like, $15. So, like, you know, you could get all three of them for $45 and, like, make it, like, a, hey, babe. I know you're a caster rogue. I thought you could use this. It's dangerous to go alone, you know, and bring that to a real place in your life, in your relationship, whichever way it's going. Aww. So that was one that I really liked. I mean, Etsy should just be a finite thing.
Well, you got to be careful because there are some things that are a little, like, suspect on Etsy. So just like eBay, there are dark corners to every light corner, you know, so.
But I've shopped here personally, and I have never been upset with anything I've gotten. And the one time I think something, like, the chain fell off, like, I got another one 2 days later. So talk about being thorough and attentive.
Right, because you're dealing directly with makers. And that's why I said, like, for the most part, Etsy's awesome. But, you know, like any place, just shop smartly and responsibly.
But that's Critical Hit Shop. I really like what they do over there. And if you're looking for a little mana, you know, or things Zelda related, like, there's a couple of Zelda things and even, like, a really cool Smash one, which I'm so glad I didn't get into Smash because I probably
would. Or a lightsaber.
I would check out Etsy. It's really
Sword Forge.
Go-to place not only for find, like, niche things, but it will also, I think, help point you to open up what you, like, if you're looking for a particular thing and you don't find that thing, it might lead you down the path to find something else.
Like, that's a purple, like, lightsaber.
Or a lightsaber, like, in Ninja's case. So that's another pick for me particularly.
Oh, I want to buy it so bad, but I have no place to put it. Sigh. Anywho.
Moving right along.
Another thing. And then I think we should get it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump into, like, some last-minute gifts. Because we've talked about some very dedicated things. And there's a bunch more in the guide. But as far as, like, last-minute gifts, a couple of things to keep in mind. You know, because it's easy to say gift cards. Which gift cards are easy, especially if you know where your geek or nerd shop. Okay, gift cards are pretty easy. And a lot of people are like, oh, gift card is a gift that you don't put thought into. I disagree.
No, I think it's a lot of thought. Because you're one, acknowledging that, one, there are so many things you could potentially get someone, but you don't know what people have.
Correct. Other people have gotten them. Exactly. I can't tell you how many times in the past that I'm like, oh my God, this will be perfect for so-and-so, and got it. And three of their other friends had the same thought, so they got three of them. And now two of them end up going back, and they get something else. So, a gift card is not a thoughtless gift. A gift card is a thoughtful gift if you get the gift card for the right amount for the right places. Don't just assume that because your friend is a gamer that they get things at GameStop. They might hate GameStop. They might not have one near them. So if you know that they do a lot of shopping at Best Buy, guess what? Best Buy has a lot of games and games accessories. So you can get them a decent Best Buy gift card and still get them a gift. What I recommend is, think about what you wanted to get them and figure out with tax what that would cost and get them a gift card for that amount. Meaning, don't just go with a $25 gift card or a $50 gift card. Because let's be honest, most of the things most people are going to pick up, especially if they're, you know, an adult, are going to be over that $25 threshold with a gift card. So they're still going to end up having to come up out of pocket or put on card the difference. So if you, for instance, know that they probably want to pick up a game, if they're picking up a game new, you know that the game is going to cost $60 plus tax. So go ahead and get them a gift card for $65 so you can cover their task. So they can really get a thing for free. Know what I mean?
No, I
don't just go with, like, the blanket one. And a lot of times people are like, oh man, all they have left are the $5 ones, so now I got to get 15 of them. No, you don't. You can always get just their generic card that you tell them what you want put on the gift card. And then present it really well. So, you know, don't just put it in an envelope or just use, like, the random card stuffer thing that it comes with. Where you can put some thought into it is in getting some kind of really nice case to put it in with some stuffing.
Maybe do the Pandalicious method.
Maybe it's not
put it
exactly
in a box of condoms.
No, don't put it in a box of condoms. Or maybe if you want to, you know, game and chill, you could do that.
Or, like, I had a really good idea the other day because a friend of mine was like...
Because I'm tired of getting things in boxes of condoms from you.
Well... Well...
And diaphragms, don't do it. Or yeah, tampons. Just don't.
You're right. No, but for one of my friends at my new office, she has this... She really likes Pop-Tart.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I mean, I'm only slightly judging her because she likes the brown sugar ones, which those I do, but... But she likes them without the frosting on them, dog.
Okay, wait.
She likes them plain. So, like, am I...
We may have to have a conversation outside of this podcast.
Yeah. So, like, I'm like, oh, man, we could bond. And then she said that. I'm like, half step back.
And then, yeah,
half step back. But I want to get her because, you know, I'm trying to make friends at my new job. Like, a nice $5 gift card or $10 gift card to Dunks because she always comes in with Dunks. Right. But I want to put it inside of the big 12-pack of... Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, oh, yay, Pop-Tarts. And then when she goes to open them, oh, shit, coffee. You can hide gifts in gifts. It's like the magpie method or the Pandalicious method, as I like to call it, because I like to shove things in other things and then pretend they're a totally different thing. Then when you finally get to it, you're like, I'm like, surprise! So I've been the kind to put boxes in boxes and boxes and have driven people nuts.
Yep.
I've put things in socks. And then been like, oh, you should try on that sock. And, like, then they stab their foot on it. And then they're mad, but then they see what it is and they're less mad.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are ways to
There's some pieces of the Pandalicious method that you should probably avoid.
Like, don't put glass in a sock and then have somebody put, like, you don't do that.
Don't put things in socks. But you can be creative in your boxing and your wrapping.
And don't throw fragile things to someone who's not good at catching things.
I think that's wisdom for the ages.
That is like just truth, straight
moving,
up.
Moving on.
I am definitely on board with gift cards not being a thoughtless gift. I think that is a generation issue. Because, I mean, you and I definitely have no problem dropping gift cards on each other.
No, they just got to be the right gift cards. And it's not just each other, but other people as well. You know, and I think that you just have to do the research to make sure you get the right gift card for the right situation.
Right.
I'm not saying that the $25 gift card or, like, a $50 gift card won't suit most people. But just keep in mind, you know, if somebody's going to be buying a DVD, most of the DVDs or Blu-ray discs, if they're doing that, they're going to be more than $25. So factor that in so that your gift is really a full gift,
right?
You know, and present it in a nice way so that you can show that there was a lot of thought. Not only I did my research because I know that you want to get this thing, or even recommend, I thought you might want to get this and I don't know if you have it yet or not, but here's how you can get it if you don't. You know, let them know the whole thought process behind it. Right. And then you give it, and then it really is a thoughtful gift. But just keep in mind,
I mean, and also make sure that your thoughts are in the right place when you do a gift. Like, if you have a friend who just got a teacup pig for her birthday, don't get her Bacon of the Month
club. Don't do that.
If they just got a farm full of chickens, don't give her, you know, Purdue chicken breasts. You know,
Or a gift card to KFC. That's
right,
not
exactly. Like,
appropriate.
Have good thoughts about your presents. Don't go for the cheap joke.
Be appropriate with your gift giving. Unless you have a relationship like that where there's an understanding that you can be inappropriate like that.
And then last...
But still, if somebody gets a teacup pig, do not give them bacon as a gift.
No. And then lastly, I would say this. Now, this is the season where there are people out there who, you know, might be, you know, balling on a very strict budget. And are trying to find ways of offloading things in, you know, the very well-practiced tradition of regifting. Few words on that, because I know...
Be careful to not gift back to someone a gift
that they gave you. And if you're looking for an appropriate place to regift, my suggestion to anybody is at your company work, because you're not really friends with anybody. And if you're new, like in my case, me. And I mean, and the gift I gave wasn't a bad gift. Actually, everyone gave really pretty awesome gifts. Someone gave a fish at my company party, and that was like the gift people wanted to swap. Talk about straight up like Mac present. But anyway, but if you have like 50 candles from Yankee Candle and you know you're not going to light them all, you know you're not going to, you're only going to open one for the bathroom when you take a really bad dump.
Yankee Candle regifting is a whole other podcast all by itself, because there, you could throw it in a basket that you make with somebody with like cheeses and stuff, and you throw the whole like, it's not a Harry and David basket, but it's like a Harry and David basket.
It's as close to Harry and David as you're going to get, bitch. So like
but,
it.
But here's the deal. Like, if you're, and I agree with you, if you are regifting, okay, because I have regifted some of my stuff to people before. But here's the deal about the regifting, okay? Because this has happened to me. I'm not bullshitting. This has happened to me. And don't do this. Don't take something of yours that's old, that you actually opened and used, and then decided, oh man, I gotta give somebody a gift, or I have a Yankee swap at my office. I'll just wipe this off and put it in a box, and I'll put it in the swap. Don't do that. Don't. I don't care if you stop at like a Dunk's or a Starbucks and just buy a mug and use that as a swap. It should always be something new.
Yes.
Don't use it and then be like, I don't need it anymore. I'll Yankee swap it. No. And then, wrong.
One other regifting rule, because we all do it. Don't even try to play, Janice. I know you do it. We all do it.
Janice in accounting don't give a fuck.
I know she doesn't. But it's okay to regift. Do not regift gifts to the same person. Because eventually they're going to get that you regift shit.
Okay, hold on. Are you, because I'll tell you right now, if I'm understanding you correctly, I've never done this. So are you saying regift a gift to the same person multiple times?
So not like, oh man, these woolly socks are just not doing it for me, and
I'll give them to person B, and then next year you're like, oh man, I got this something, and I don't really like it. I'll give this to person B.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, I've never done that.
I know somebody.
You can't say we've all done it.
No, I'm just saying we've all regifted. Like, the act of regifting, not this particular subset.
What you said before is, I'm going to say something right now, and we've all done it. Don't play like you haven't.
Right. No, I'm just talking regifting itself. But okay. Don't have that one friend who's like, you know, that guy, you know,
who
that one person.
The recipient of all your regifting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. You got to spread the regifting love around. Yeah, you got to spread that around. Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Because then eventually resentment happens. And then, you know, from a story from a friend of mine who may or may not have done this, she got a pocket Bible, which then had inscriptions, go fuck yourself, in it. And she learned a lesson that day about giving regifts to the same person, and that was don't.
No, you can't do that. You gotta spread the regifting love around. Okay? If you're really going to regift, you can't have the same person be the recipient. Even if they're the person that you just don't like, you can't always give them the regift. That's not cool.
Right.
Not
so.
Unless you throw in like a really good, like cool regift every once in a while to offset all the shitty ones.
Say, hey, look, it's like this thing. So I like really every like, third, but I have no purpose for it. But
if
I know
you're gonna do it. Every third regift gift has to be awesome.
Right.
Okay. So you got to give up one awesome gift if you're going to do that successfully. Not that I'm saying to do that, because you shouldn't do that. You should spread the regift love around. So really quickly before we go, a couple of things that are also really good, really easy, because you can do them digitally. A lot of people don't take advantage of this, but you can gift apps and games through the various digital marketplaces, the iTunes Store, the Android, Google Play Store. You can gift an app to somebody. So if you know there's an app and you don't just want to give somebody like a gift card to the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, you can gift specific apps. So if you know, for instance, that somebody really, really, really could use a copy of Photoshop, but the elements, but they're not going to buy it, you can gift them that $70 app. You can buy it and say, I'm buying this as a gift, and shoot it to their email address, and they'll get a redeem code that they can download, and they're off to the races, that kind of stuff. So you can take advantage of that. But that really only works if you specifically know that there's an app that they need that they wouldn't buy for themselves. So that's, you know, a very specific thing. But there's also a lot of streaming services that you can gift, both in a month, 3 month, or whole year fashion. So there are things like Crunchyroll, which is a great gifting option, as well as Funimation, which they're renaming themselves, I think, to Toku or something like that. But you can gift streaming services for a single month, multi-month, whatever. So if you have somebody who's, you know, becoming an anime fan, you can give them the gift of anime by gifting them a subscription to Crunchyroll for anywhere between $7.99 a month if it's just the anime, or $12.99 a month for anime and manga and also dramas that are available there. So I highly recommend that. Funimation's pricing's just around the same places, but it's all the stuff that Funimation has licensed. So you can take a look at all the anime that they have to offer, all the program that they have to offer for free to figure out which is a good fit for your friend or significant other or whomever, but then gift, and all you have to do is have their email address and send them the subscription, let them know it's coming and all that kind of stuff. Or you can get the thing yourself and then print out that they've got a subscription and then hand over and change the email address later if you want it to be a real surprise gift. But you can also do things, and I think that this is really why this year is a really great year, and we haven't talked a lot about this on the website, but there are so many different geek and nerd box of the month subscriptions out there now that there's something for everybody. So whether you want to gift somebody a month or a multi-month of things like Loot Crate, who we absolutely love. They now just launched Anime Crate, so it's a bunch of anime stuff in a box.
Yeah, I saw that.
Manga, usually a plushie.
Let me know when it's Sailor Moon month.
Well, you won't know until it's actually out, so you kind of need to keep an eye.
No! Okay.
And once it's out, can't get it. But between, you know, things like Marvel Collector Core, the DC box, Loot Crate, Hero Crate, like, there are so many different ones out there that it, you can really find something that fits everyone or anyone. So if anybody, you know, wants to get me Anime Crate, I'm okay with that. I will not be getting it for myself. But if you gifted it to me, that would be awesome, because there's a bunch of just little, really nice little geek toys that, you know, you wouldn't be able to curate by yourself regularly, but it's a really nice thought, and it's a great presentation, and it's literally delivered to their door, so there's no wrapping involved for you. You just have to buy it and have it sent off, which is awesome. Definitely check out Loot Crate, Anime Crate. They even have a pet crate for your pet. There's Bark Box. So if somebody has a ridiculously adorable dog and you want to get them some gifts for their dog, because you're like, hey, you're taken care of, but I love you so much, I'm going to hook your dog up because I know that that's going to make you happy. There's Pet Crate. There's Bark Box. There's all kinds of stuff. There's Snackages. So if you know somebody that, you know, works in an office, you can do things like Nature Box or Graze Box and have some delicious snackages sent to them on a monthly basis. There's makeup boxes. There's nail polish boxes. There's a box of the month club for pretty much anything on the planet you could think of. There's your jerky box. Panda already mentioned bacon of the month. Like, you can find a subscription thing for anybody, and you can go as low as just a single month thing, which would probably be like a $25 to $27 purchase, or a multi-month thing. So, you know, get really like creative with what your friend or significant other would really like, and you know, you can go to the box of the month club with them. All good stuff. We've got even more things that are in our gift guide, so if you're still hurting for some ideas for what to get your friends and family members who are near and dear to your heart and might be of the geeky, gamey persuasion, then make sure that you check out our gift guide. We've got all kinds of recommendations in there. There's some music in there, some DVDs in there. If you've got a Miyazaki fan, if you are not considering either getting a group of people together to go in on the Complete Collected Works DVD of Miyazaki for them, or, you know, you're balling out of control and you want to buy it for them in wholeheartedly, definitely make sure that that's on your list for sure. But there's a bunch of things in our gift guide like that that we recommend, so make sure that you hit up our website and check out the gift guide for this year, or any year, really, because if we've recommended it as a gift before, it probably still wouldn't suck as a gift. And we've even rated them with star ratings, so, you know, useful. Right?
Yeah.
The whole thing is useful. Our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can check out news and reviews, our gift guide, like I've mentioned, and all kinds of other stuff coming up. We are organizing all of our stuff to make it even easier for you to navigate and find the things that you're looking for. The search has been updated, so, you know, definitely check out the website, bookmark it, save our RSS feed, subscribe to our podcast. We've got links on the site now to make that even easier for people, because some people weren't sure, like, actually how to find us in iTunes, either on their desktop or on their podcast app application. I guess saying search for the Eshcast or Electric Sisterhood. Some people were spelling it wrong, so we're having a hard time finding it. We made it easier. We've got links directly on our website, so you can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes if you so choose to do it that way. You can also get our podcast in Google Play, so you can listen to it on your Android device. You can listen to our podcast, you can find it in Stitcher if you use Stitcher Radio. You can find our podcast on VogNetwork.com, as well as some other great, great and entertaining shows over there. You can also find our podcast pretty much any place on the web that you search for podcasts by searching for Electric Sisterhood or The Eshcast and subscribing. Please subscribe, because the moment we put the new episodes out every week, you will have them in your hands for your listening pleasure, which we hope you enjoy, because we enjoy making these podcasts for you.
Absolutely do, or we wouldn't do it.
You can also check out some of the other team members. You know, everybody writes on the Electric Sisterhood website, but a bunch of our team members have their own little niche things that, if you're super interested in them, we highly recommend that you check out their sites and their podcasts as well, because we love our team and everything that they do. So check out b3crew.com to take a listen to No Borders, No Race, which is hosted by King Baby Duck. And also check out what the team over at B3 is creating, writing about: manga, anime, movies, indie music, Japanese culture. No Borders, No Race is a great show. You should definitely check it out. New episodes going out weekly. You should also check out Smashed Rook. Hamster Man does live streams on Twitch every Wednesday of games he's playing. If you haven't checked out Smashed Rook, then you need to change your life and make sure that you do. Also check out the Issues program. Even more updates coming, but soon we will be pushing Recap This, Recap That. So make sure that you're checking that out now for great, great content on recaps of really awesome TV shows that more than likely you're already watching, but now you'll have somebody that you can talk with them about and share your issues about, because there'll be live chats during the recaps going forward really soon. So lots of great stuff over there. We've also got the Structure Network, which is part of our family. And let me tell you, for all the things that we talk about, for any of the things that we miss, you better bet your ass you'll find it over at the Structure Network, whether it's wrestling, unboxing, comics, movies. If it's nerdy, even in its most infinitesimal way, you will probably find out about it or hear about it. Somebody's talking about it over at Structure Network. And of course, as I kind of alluded to before, last week, we've got a new member of the Esh family getting ready to kick off here pretty soon. Maybe it'll be a Christmas miracle. Who knows? But Nerd Crave is coming, and I'm telling you, you're going to love everything that the team over at Nerd Crave does. So hold your hats, people. It's coming. It's going to be awesome. Epic. So it's now the time where I turn to my sister and I give her an award. That's right.
Oh, and so
the award this week for best almost prepared, but no, really prepared for a podcast goes to Pandalicious.
I want to thank, obviously, Esh for giving me every opportunity to succeed and then choosing at the last moment to do things later. I also want to thank Wikipedia and other sites who are far more thorough than I am generally, because they will give me the best cliff notes on something so that I sound a little bit more educated than I should. I also would like to thank Sleep for making me sleep longer so that I can do less research, but then worry about not doing that research. And I'd also like to thank my dogs for no reason at all.
All right. Well, there you have it. As always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Bye.
Buy good gifts.